This is a glorious day. 28 good years. It is almost like a birthday, isn't it? Anniversary. And we all look to God with thanksgiving for 28 wonderful years. As I was pondering how to begin, I welcome all those coming in. Do please find a seat. Today is a full house, but there are still some seats. So please, if those who have space would just indicate and allow the friends who are just coming in to find a place to be seated. Thank you very much. Yes. You know, John Newton, the converted slave trader, became one of Britain's greatest pastors, wrote this, which we often sing on the Sunday safely through another week. For today, we change one of two words and say safely through another year. Isn't that good? Except the Lord bless us and see us through, we don't have today. We will not have such a wonderful time. So, safely through another year, God has brought us on our way, right? Always thank God. Let us now His blessing seek, meeting in His house today. What thoughts went through your mind when those choirs came to the front? I just could not hold back my feeling to see the over 100 little kids singing. And think of what will happen to them in 10 years' time when they'll be bigger than you, or I, or me. Then the youth choir, tremendous. And then the mature voices of the grown-up choir. Every item must speak to you. Yes. Marching to Zion, how wonderful. Plowing the fields and sowing, this is our job. Our ministry is non-stop sowing, reaping, all the time. And may I remind all of us here, dear friends, there is no greater industry, no greater MNC on planet Earth than the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes. For when all other organizations will disappear, only the everlasting kingdom of God will endure. You and I today come to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a place in that everlasting kingdom that shall never perish and of which there is no end. Wonderful. It's always good to reflect on a day like this. Do you know 28 years ago, let's say 30 years ago, all right, to be more exact, there was not a church here. Only a big fish pond dried up. In this site, right? Then I went to the JTC office, saw this man, the chairman, called Mr. Woon Wah Siang. He's too old for most of you to know him. He's dead many 10 years ago. And I said, Mr. Woon, he was once my lecturer in university. He says, Siang, what are you doing here? I said, well, you know, you gave us a piece of land in Tao Ching Road, Jurong. Now that church is full. We need more land. Wonderful. You know, God raised men for each purpose. And He raised this man there with a heart for us. Come and see. On the wall is a map. Amazing. How big do you want? I said, what you have, I take. One piece, 98,000 square feet. I couldn't believe my ears or my eyes. And with me was Reverend Philip Hing just across the border, the boundary. And I said to Mr. Woon,
How about half each? All right. Chop through. We are now standing on 49,000 square feet. I used to come here to watch. Mr. Woon was so kind to fill up the whole piece of land. It would have cost us thousands of dollars, maybe tens of thousands of dollars, but lorry loads of earth came all the time, hundreds of them, and piled the whole place with earth until it was level. Thank God. We didn't have to pay a cent, you know. Amazing. God's grace and God's provision are beyond understanding. Then I used to come after we awarded the tender for piling. You know what is piling? The thing that goes bang, bang, bang. And I was amazed because the deepest pile went down 93 feet, like a nine-story building. Went right down because this place was formerly a swamp, a pond. Today we have this. You know, this church has undergone three extensions. We didn't build it with that. Those people up there will be sitting on the air today. All your friends up in the mezzanine floor. After 8 years, then we say, well, not enough. The church ended just where the columns are. Just like that. Yes, those columns you see there. Those columns were built as an afterthought. Because when we grew too big, we said, architect, come, help us. He says, okay, we'll give you another floor called the mezzanine, and then we extend it, push it towards the border. We did. That gave us another about 700 or 800 seats. So this auditorium plus the top can take, squeezed 1,200 seats, you know that. All things prepared for us by our wonderful God. So that is a bit of history. Now, our latest extension, A&A, for which we are still paying, you know, it is a song. Supposing we were to think and start building this whole project today, you will not be able to do it for less than $30 to $35 million, at least. How can we do it? God is good. So, coming to 28th anniversary, it's good you know some history. And to know that history is God's doing. God is the God of history. And He sent us here for that purpose. If we never left Life Church Gilstead Road, we'll never have this place. But God says, go. And this is the result. So it is good we have a bit of reflection. Now, dear friends, my message to you is from the Word of God in two parts. Part one is 2 Timothy. Please turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Yes, I would suggest and urge all of us to be quicker in your sword drill. You know what is sword drill? The Word of God is a sharper than any two-edged sword, and that is the sword. And when we say 2 Timothy chapter 4, get it right away. Don't start from Genesis, but start from the end of the Bible. Okay, have you got it? Now, this first part is a message from your pastor, Reverend Quek, from Sydney. He is right now ministering in Sydney. And this is his message. It says, since I'm not here, these are the words I like to tell you. So listen carefully. This is what he says to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and the time has come, when they, those in the church, will no longer endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own ideas, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned
unto fables. But watch thou in all things. This is the bottom line, the conclusion of this message from Sydney. Reverend Quick says to you, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, little bit of suffering and inconvenience, doesn't matter. But do the work of an evangelist. Go and witness for the Lord. Say a good word for the Lord. That is the work of an evangelist. Do you? Are you doing it? Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. So these are the words from your pastor, now serving in Sydney BP Church. Now the message for this morning, wow, time is flying, I thought it was almost afternoon, is from 1 Thessalonians. Please turn there. In our series of studies, we have now come to the book of 1 Thessalonians, which I had read earlier on. What do you know about the church in Thessalonica or Thessalonica? Remember that Paul had no plan to go to Europe. Thessalonica is in Europe. And the man from Macedonia appeared in the vision and said, come over and help us. And he went over and founded the first church in the city of Philippi. And there he was cast into the prison. And out of that prison episode, God moved by earthquake and the jailer got saved and others got saved and that became a church. Now because of the trouble, they moved on to Thessalonica. This is where we are. By the way, this is the second church that Paul founded in Europe. And Calvary Pandan is the second church we founded after Calvary Jurong. So there is some similarity. And so the message is very pertinent to all of us today, that the Lord is speaking to us as a church in these words of Paul. Now follow, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. By the way, this little letter to the Thessalonian church is a marvelous letter, because the emphasis throughout the whole letter is the Lord Jesus is coming again. And therefore, these words of instruction, of warning, of encouragement are so pertinent, so timely, written 2,000 years ago, for the church in Thessalonica, is very pertinent to us today in Pandan Gardens. Paul, Silas, other name is Silvanus, Timothy, all right, three of them together co-author this letter, but essentially it is Paul's letter. But Paul is so kind, always includes their name. Now, what does he say to us? To the church of the Thessalonians, change that. Say, to the church of the Pandanites, right? That's you and me, which is in God and the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful, blessed greetings. What do we say to that? What do you say to that? When you receive this, you say, thank God, amen. I need grace. I need peace from God the Father, the loving Father in heaven. How wonderful if somebody writes to you and says, I wish you all these things, I'm praying for you. You say, praise God. Thank God. Do you? Whenever you hear of these, you thank God. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. This is a ministry committed to all of us. There is no greater ministry than the ministry of prayer, which is given to God's people, for God's people, during God's time, given to us in our earthly pilgrimage, one thing, pray one for another. And when you receive this letter to say, Paul and the others are praying for you, what do you say? Thank God. So we thank God that we have this wonderful ministry. What does it say in verse 3? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, this church in Thessalonica was a church that was founded in the midst of great tribulation. Remember how it started? If you want to read more of it, it is in Acts chapter 17. You read at home tonight. If you remember and interested, it is there. Paul went to the synagogue and spoke, and a good number of Jews believed, but the greater number were the Greeks. And out of that came a church. But wherever God's work goes and flourishes, Satan is never far behind. And so Satan instigates and raises up opposing Jews who hated the gospel, who hated the Lord Jesus Christ, and they gave big trouble to Paul and Silas, creating almost a near riot. There was commotion, uprising, unrest, until Paul and Silas had to flee the city. Now, what's so wonderful about that church? Even though they went through a very rough and tempestuous beginning, that church survived. It didn't fold up and say, there's so much trouble, let's forget it. But no, the word of God preached to them took root. They all opened their hearts to receive the gospel, to know that Jesus Christ, crucified, is alive and has started this great work to save unto himself a peculiar people who, believing, enter into the kingdom of God, that everlasting kingdom that you and I are in today. That's the meaning of 28th anniversary. The choirs were so great a testimony, helping us, stirring us with the holy songs, to know that one day we'll be gathered in the heavenly place with heavenly choirs forever and ever and ever, singing to the praise of our Almighty God. That's the use of the choirs to encourage us. And here is that group of Christians in Thessalonica, continuing steadfast, serving the Lord. And Paul says, you people there, we remember you daily in prayer, unceasing, because every group that is surviving needs more encouragement, more help. I want you to read today's weekly. Jimmy Pang came from our YAF, well known to the YAF, but not generally known. You can read this at home. He wrote to me. And I thought it is worth your knowing that in that church in Toronto, God is moving, things are growing, and looking up. Does it excite you? You know, I was there to start this church with Brother Daniel Chu. When? 1992. Wow, how many years? 15 years already. And for years and years, the attendance was about 1820, 1820, 1615, around that. And we prayed and we wondered, will that church survive? But we never gave up. You know what this is called? Stickability. Stick at it. I told Daniel, I said, Daniel, you just keep on. Don't give up. Today he's rejoicing. And I wrote this for you to read about Jimmy Pang. The young man that was going to Toronto, one day he said to me, Dr. Toh, I'm going to emigrate. I said, wow, where? Oh, I got PR in Canada.
That's amazing. Where? Mississauga. And Mississauga is where our church is. I say, God is sending you there for a purpose. So those of you in YAF will remember him. I said, give him maximum exposure. Prepare him for Toronto. So that when he goes, he'll be useful to Pastor Daniel Chu. Today, he is being used there. So, similarly, when Paul thinks of the church in Thessalonica, wow, how happy he was to know that the Christians there persevere. Do we persevere? I said, dear friends, if God has called you, chosen you, and that is the theme for today, rejoice every day. You say, what is it to be chosen? Ah, you never know. It's, the word here used is election. Where is it? Verse 5. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul was so excited with this church to know that they persevered. And this is the proof of election. Say, what do you mean? God chose you. Amazing. You said, I chose God when I came to the front and acknowledged Jesus Christ as my Savior. I chose God. Right? Right and wrong. Yes. You had to make a choice. But long before that, before the foundation of the world, God chose you. This is deep theology, but this is the true thing. For, you know what Spurgeon says? Truly, it was God who chose me. Because if I had to make my choice, I would never have chosen Jesus Christ. What is there in him? I know nothing about him except God came to me to reveal his Son to me, that I know him. Then I put my choice. But long before that, before the foundation of the world, long, dear friends, long before you came to the front, long before you made your choice for the Lord Jesus Christ, God chose you. This is the meaning of election. Now this, as I say, is deep theology. Read now verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. What did Paul go there to do? Everywhere he went, the only thing he gave to the people is gospel. Not privileges on earth, not money or position or property or any other inducements, which is common in politics. You know that? You vote for me, we will repair your house for you, upgrade your estate for you, you vote. There are advantages, not with the gospel. Gospel does not give people material advantages. But Paul says, verse 5, please see, our gospel preached to you. Paul came barehanded, barefooted, a refugee from the city of Philippi to Thessalonica. With what? One thing only, the gospel, the word of God. What is there in the word of God? You tell us something. True or false, how do we know? Verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. Yes, all that Paul could tell him is, Christ Jesus died for you. You believe in him, you will find everlasting life. How are you to believe him? After all, he had to run away for his life, pursued by these other fellow Jews. Ah, where is the power? You know, when you give the word of God, there is power because the word of God is attended by the Holy Spirit. This is the promise. This is the way that God works. God does not work by any other means. Only by the word, the gospel. And this is what you have. And this is what we all have in this one book. Oh, the word of God, the precious, precious, life-giving word of God. You must know it. You must read it, love it, memorize it, sleep over it, wake over it. Eat the Word of God every day. Oh, dear friends, how well do you know this Word? So Paul says, when we preach to you the Word of God, it did not just go as empty words, but there was power. How do you prove the power? The power is shown because these people believed and received the Word into their minds, from the minds went to the heart, and from the heart translated into action. Change of life is the power or the proof of the power of the Word of God. For the people that changed their lives. Remember, when those people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the silversmiths lost their business because nobody wanted idols anymore. There is power. Now continue. Also in power, verse 5, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So important that preachers of the gospel, that is you and I, live the gospel, be examples of godly living. So the people who hear will always refer the word they heard from you and refer it, compare it with your life. What kind of life do you live? If you preach a gospel and do not live the gospel, that word that you preach falls flat. Those who heard it will say, hypocrites. They only preach but never practice what they preach. But here is different, very different. Where does it say so? I read again from the middle of verse 5. In much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, we came empty-handed, refugees from Philippi. All we had was the word of God, and you examine our lives. We didn't go night-lifing, go to those pleasure spots, but day and night Paul was praying, preaching, witnessing, and they observed. And people observe you. Yes. They see what kind of Christian you are. You say you're a Christian. You try to convert me. But then when I look at your life, people who swindle others can happen among Christians. And the word goes round. He's a cheat. He's a dishonest person. He's a proud person. He's a gambler. People lose faith. People lose faith in you and lose faith in the word you spoke, the so-called gospel. Say, what kind of gospel? Not with Paul. Listen, Paul says, our word came to you not in word only, the gospel. Also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, because you examine our lives, the manner of life we live, and you were persuaded that there is power in the gospel that causes you and me to write off the things of the world and not be concerned except where essentials. I got to live, I got to work hard, I got to have an income of certain kind. But beyond that, I'm not a greedy person, all the time hankering after more and more money. Are you? Verse 6, and you became followers of us. Sure, I will follow you. When Dr. Johnson came, you could not invite him out for one dinner or one tea or anything. Nothing, absolutely nothing. All his time is the preaching of the gospel of the cross. My Lord Jesus, you must know him, and I will give it to you day and night, 3 times a day. 2 hours a time. People did not want to go home. They want to listen to Dr. John Sung because they examined his life. What a life! Only gospel, nothing else. May we show that kind of faith, that kind of stability, that kind of foundation on the Word of God, that we live what we preach and we do what we believe to be right. So, verse 6 in conclusion. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. Who are these? The Christians in the Church of Thessalonica. How wonderful if I can write to this church and say, you in Pandan, God bless you, because you have not given up your faith and your trust and your discipleship following the Lord all these 28 years. And continue, God willing, giving us another 28 years. Possible, maybe, unlikely, I think. But all of us, when God has been so good, so kind, so gracious, so loving, sending us servants who honestly and earnestly and sincerely preach only the word and live the word, then you are persuaded, you are convinced. Having received the word in much affliction, surely, if those people can be steadfast, how much more you be steadfast? Have you been through affliction? Anyone here been punished, persecuted, ostracized, sidelined because of your faith? If so, praise the Lord. Prove your faith. Even though I go through difficult times, I come through victorious because God's word and God's promise is true. True to the very nth degree. Every word is true. You can prove Him over and over and over again. We have been with it all these years. Continue, therefore, with joy in the Holy Ghost. These are examples. Oh, my friends, just as a point of interest, something I wanted to say at the very first. When we started this church in the 1st of July, 1979, there were about 50 people here. How many of the 50 who were here with me on that day are still present today? Can we see you stand, please? And this will encourage us to continue. Though, please, don't be shy, please. Chun Seng, I knew you were one of them. Who else? Please, how many more? Upstairs, any? Upstairs? All right. You were one of them? Are you Matthew? Who else? Who else? Who else? Yes, at the back. 3, 4. Who else? Of course, Mrs. Stowe. 5, 6. Who else? 7. Who else? Present the first day. All right, thank you very much. Just under 10. What happened to the rest of the 40? Amazing. So, dear friends, the point is this. Stickability, faithfulness, continue. Today we celebrate 28 years of God's goodness. You can never, never, never repay that goodness of God until you come to heaven and serve Him for everlasting days. And that is our destination, all of us. We owe our God an irrepayable debt, a debt you owe that debt because God sent His only Son for you, to die for you, then to rise for you, and to live for you, and to pray for you, and coming for you. We owe a debt. We only are debtors. Can you ever repay that debt? You say we can't. True? Yes. But must you try? I say absolutely. You must try. Do your best. Dear friends, as we go home, having heard the word of God, thanking God for 28 wonderful years, I say you pray with me. Say, Lord, take my life and use me for whatever years are remaining for the advancement of the kingdom, for the sake of those you saw here, little ones singing this morning. I was moved. Who will look after them? What will happen to them? Because this church is already bursting at the seams. We had 3 extensions. There is no 4th extension, understand? No more. We have exceeded the limit. So there is something that causes you to think,
what will happen to these young people, all those youth choir people, in 5 years' time when they get married and children come? Where will they go? Who will teach them? Where are the Sunday school teachers? And how many pastors do you need? We need to hear. Anytime today, we can do with another 6 full-time people. Anytime. Those of us who are in the position, in the job, we are laboring all out, all the time, non-stop. We need more helpers. Will God raise up from this church more helpers? People will say, here's my life, Lord. Take it and use it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may thou bless this church, this congregation of your people, whom you have saved, redeemed out of everlasting death into thy everlasting kingdom of life and light. O Lord, we thank thee for what thou hast done over the past 28 years. Thank thee for keeping us faithful, faithful in the things of God, faithful, holding for the word of everlasting life, unchanged and unchanging. O Lord, cause that we, the leaders and the present members, will promise thee that we will stand with thee, faithful till the end, until we see our Lord Jesus return in the clouds of heaven with glory and great power, that we will strive together for that wonderful day. This is our prayer, and help us all to understand we owe a debt, and we must pay that debt. In Jesus' holy name, amen.